Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
And it's no other than Ololade Hector Fowobage. Hi, Ololade, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
I'm doing very well, friend. It could get better, but yeah. Doing very well. Yeah, like I said, today we're going to continue from what we were talking about last week. Last week I had a guest talking about the stigma and everything that goes with drug abuse. And today we're going to be talking sexual abuse. I brought you on because I know you're an expert in this particular field. But before we go on and before we go in depth into what sexual abuse is all about, you have a center called O5 Center for Children. And I mean, yes. I've been following it. I know a little bit about it. I know you're out there to safeguard children against abuse and so many other ills. You understand? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the O5 Center for Children?
Okay. Yeah, so O5 Center for Children is an NGO founded in 2010, registered 2015. It's something I've been doing for about 11 years. So our focus is on child sexual abuse primarily. Okay, that's our main focus. So we use the publications, we use talks in schools, churches, mosques, and at different fora to talk to parents and particularly the children. I particularly love talking to children more than parents. Maybe I'll give the reason later, you know. So the idea is to educate the people, to sensitize their parents and all other child handlers on how to protect children from sexual abuse. Because child sexual abuse is preventable, 99% preventable if we do what we need to do. So that's what the O5 Center for Children basically is about. And of course, we respond to anything concerning children, any other issues, you know, because we belong to a network, child protection network, where we can, you know, refer cases. Like if it's physical abuse, if it's neglect, if it's emotional abuse, if it's trafficking. So we are still in a network where we can refer. But our focus is child sexual abuse. And that's what we've been doing for the past 11 years.
Well, that's very quite interesting because, like I said, this particular issue, or rather topic, has a lot of, it connotes a lot. I mean, I will look at it from the fact that there's so much stigma attached to sexual abuse, you understand? Yes. Especially when somebody is a victim. Yeah. I believe, I mean, I'm happy I'm talking to somebody like you right now because for once I'm talking to my own kind of colleague, somebody in my own setting that understands, you know, the mindset of people. So, you know, there's a lot of stigma.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of stigma attached to sexual abuse, you understand? Yeah. And I think one of the first hurdles is for us to disabuse this stigma, you understand? So why do you think there's a lot of stigma attached to sexual abuse?
Okay, let me start by saying, generally, stigma is a common reaction to negative occurrences in our society, whether it's adult rape, whether it's HIV, whether it's mental issues.
Exactly.
People tend to label, you know, and avoid anything that deviates from the norm, in quote, you understand?
Yeah.
So, but, for sexual abuse, people put a mark of disgrace because, you know, they see. I don't use victims. I use survivors. Child sexual abuse survivors are regarded as stained, broken in code, devalued and tampered with. And you know, in our society, sex and anything sexuality is just sacrosanct. You understand? So any violation in these matters are considered repulsive, abominable, abhorrent. You know. So, I mean, you know, the victim didn't ask to be abused. The victim didn't ask to be defiled or molested. But see, people still have this perception that, this person has been broken, and this person has no value. So I do not want to associate with this person. So cultural mindset, you know, have put this thing in us, you know, that attitude, you know, the cultural mindset and attitude are largely responsible for this stigma, you know. So it's like, you can't marry that girl. She was raped violently at a 10. No, you cannot bring that girl to this family. Why? You know? So that is the reason why people, no matter what, so whether it's a matter of rape, or anything, no matter, there's always that thing that, oh, you know, there's a public label on this person already. I do not want to be associated with you, you know. So that is why there's always this stigma. Oh, that child is, has been abused. No. And then, you know, they tend to isolate the person. They tend to mock the person. They tend to want to stay away from the person and all that. So the common reaction generally turns negative in our society, not just sexual abuse, you know. So, you know, I think basically ignorance, you know. Many people think,
exactly. I was going to use the word ignorance, yeah.
Yes, you know, because you feel that, oh, a child has been abused, the child is worthless, the child has lost something. But it is wrong. If you crumple a 1,000 naira note, you know, and throw it on the floor, you pick it up, it still has the same value, yes or no? You're still going to buy whatever a fresh mint you buy, yes or no? It's good, you know. So we that's part of the orientation we try to do. We try to tell them, look, this thing has happened. Nobody prays for it to happen. But when it does happen, they become survivors. We don't call them victims again, because they will overcome it with counseling and the support from the parents and the society, not when you stigmatize them, you know. So
But another question I was going to, I mean, like I told you, questions keep flowing in. One of the things I noticed, which I know, I'm not sure it is very common in Nigeria, but I know in South Africa where I practice, okay, one thing I know people overlook a lot is like we tend as humans to focus more on sexual abuse looking towards the females, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
a lot of males are being sodomized.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
It's an underlying thing that just people just overlook. And most of the time, you can't, it's not easily spoken about.
Oh, yes.
Or like when you look at rape and everything, but it is right there.
Oh, but
so
that narrative is changing.
What's your take on this?
Yeah, that narrative is changing now. Okay.
Good.
Okay. I remember when I was writing my first book, I got this illustrator to come to my office and all that. It was a book on etiquette, you know, and then so he saw the work I did and then he commended me and all that. But he said, can you please write a book on sexual abuse? I said, how come? Why? He now gave me life story. How his uncle, his mom's brother, you know, abused him for years.
Wow.
It was, he did the whole thing, oral sex, sodomy and all that, you know. So so he said he was thankful that I didn't end up an homosexual and all that, you know. And so over time, I've witnessed, I've handled many cases involving boys, you know. So most of my colleagues and I, we don't just concentrate on the girls like we used to. Now we know that many men will tell you, it was either my maid, my auntie, a neighbor and all that. So even in Nigeria, things are changing. We are not just looking at the girl child, both of them,
okay,
whether the girl child goes. And then when we sensitize parents, that's one thing we do, we need to let them know. Most of the time, the girl, you are told, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. You don't bother protecting the boys, but, you know, boys are abused as well, you know. So that is changing, and that is being addressed in Nigeria on a large scale, I can assure you, you know.
Oh, because that I mean...
Yeah.
No, go on. That's very, actually, very, very good.
Awareness raising is very important. Educate the people when you talk to them. Some of the time, they don't even see this thing. They don't know this thing. Like the guy that was telling me, my illustrator, that never told anyone. Didn't tell his mom, didn't tell his dad. No one knew, you know. So when we have those talks, by the time we start telling the parents and giving them some of this life to live, like, wow, you know. So things are changing, you know. Once we keep getting the education out there, once we keep having the talk, when we see, you know, making publication and including boys and girls and all that, like some of our posters and flyers, you know, you put the boys, you put the girls, you know, so we are not only talking about the girls. So it's continual sensitization, you know, that the boy child needs to be protected just as the girl child, you know. So I think we're doing a lot.
Let me go to where I know you'll be very comfortable, okay?
Okay.
Now that we've talked about this, okay? Definitely, yes. I tell people as I've had experiences, I've seen situations where sometimes I will use the word, people can be a little bit, will I use the word gullible or blinded by their environment, especially with all due respect, especially with religion and spirituality.
Yes.
And I use the word, when people will tell you things like, I always say to people, this thing is called watch and pray. It's not pray only and it's not watch only. And that is why you absolutely. Are a professional. I tell people there are signs to look out for when you have a child, so that your child does not fall a victim to rape or to abuse generally. I mean, I've had a situation where you see people that it is right under your nose right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be an uncle, it can be, and it's just going to be right there sitting at your face. And you don't even know. Yeah. So what are the signs people, what are the signs to look out for? I mean, how do you advise people? What are the signs to look out for?
Okay. I will talk about signs, but I believe before we talk about signs, we need to talk about educating yourself, which is why you're listening to this program. Thank you for all those of you that are connected. You know, the best way to deal with this thing is to stay informed. You need to educate yourself always. Now, I know we still get to that later. So, the signs of sexual abuse can be behavioral, can be physical. Let's talk about physical first. Painful urination. You notice your child is weaning and then peeing and then, you know, and it's, you know, there's a move and he or she's in some kind of pain. You need to probe. Painful bowel movement. There was a case we had that the general, one of the general hospitals in Lagos. This stepmom noticed that the daughter wasn't, you know, going to the toilet to do the big thing for a while, you know. And to cut a long story short, by the time she found out, they found semen in her anus. A neighbor had been sodomizing the girl, 8-year-old girl, you know. And, you know, but thank God she noticed that this girl hadn't gone to the toilet in a whole week. No, I need to purge you. Then she now saw these white things coming up. And that's how, you know, they found out that one neighbor and another one, you know, they took her to the general hospital, they called us in for counseling and all that. You know, so painful bowel movement or no bowel movement. Your child isn't going to the toilet. You need to check. You know, there could just be something funny happening. Then, you know, complaints of body pain, especially around the tummy, thighs, bottom and back, you know, marks, you know, especially around the genitals. The child is an unusual odor. Maybe, you know, that they remove their pants and there's a stain. You know, stained leather pants are very, very common. There are people that have seen things and like, where did this come from? You know, then masturbation, when you see a child and, you know, the hand is on the penis, or those, not that these things are like, if it's this, it has to be sexual abuse.
Exactly, I'm going to say so.
Yes, there are things you need to investigate, there are things you need to prove, you know, and then, you know, when a child starts acting out sexually or making explicit. Sexually explicit drawings, you know, or using words that, you know, that are strange, and then, you know, trying to touch other people's genitals, all of a sudden, you know, and then we also have unusual attachment to a particular person. When you see that your child, maybe for some reason, just, you know, just started getting close to one person and all that, you need to just be vigilant and, you know, watch, you know, and then also, you can also go to the other extreme, hesitancy to be with a certain person, you understand? You know, I spoke about attachment force, but it also swing the other way. When someone starts, I don't want to go to Uncle Kinnikon's house. I don't want to go to someone's house. I don't want to do this. I don't want to, you need to prove why, you know. Then, you know, difficulty walking or sitting, that is one of the major signs, you know. A lady noticed the niece was walking funny. And then, you know, just within 5 minutes, they sent her to the chemist, to the pharmacy, buy Panadol. Within 5 minutes, the guy had gotten the 12-year-old girl on the floor and had abused her, the father. You know,
wow.
So by the time she was coming, she was walking funny, and then the aunt was like, "What is wrong?" You know, so that's the place of vigilance, you know, and you know, that's how she found out that the sales the attendant at the pharmacy had the father just within a few minutes buy Panadol and all that. So, you know, so when they start walking funny or they can't sit, they feel uncomfortable, you need to probe. A child that doesn't, that don't normally bedwet, start bedwetting, you need to probe, you need to start finding out secretiveness. You know, this place, someone that's normally cool and whatever, that being destructive, you know, or general moodiness, maybe, you know, a very sanguine child that's all over the place, you know, so moody, you know, cuddling up in one corner and all that. You need to investigate, drop in academic performance, you know. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of it, but the most important is for you to be vigilant. You know your child. When something is different, you should notice. You understand? So that is it. The sign will be like, this is my child. When something is different, I should know. I should probe. You know, it may not be sexual abuse, but it could be sexual abuse if I probe and I investigate. So that's it.
So in such a case, right then, I mean, now it's going to take us back. It's going to take us a step backwards, okay? Which I know you were going to answer me. How do you know? I mean, it definitely is not written on anybody's forehead that, oh, this person is an abuser, or this person is going to abuse this person. You know, I mean, I will tell you of an incident that really went south, and I mean it really went south on that 2 minutes. You know, this is somebody, I mean, a grown-up person who has a friend. I mean, I'm a young adult who had a friend, and I mean, she's known this friend for so long. I mean, it's not like a new friend or anything. But one of those days, I would just say maybe, how will I use it? I think his senses just took leave over him. But I think it's something he must have been planning for so long. Anyway, he ends up raping her while visiting her.
Yeah.
You understand? And you know, one of the first things that comes to mind is, why? You know, why? Why would you do such a thing? This is somebody it's not somebody you met randomly. This is somebody you've known all the time. This is somebody that has kind of established a relationship, a friendship with you. So how do you know who an abuser would be? What are the signs to look out for?
All right, just before she answers that question, ladies, just before she answers that question, let's remind our listeners that it's still a Real Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Live Radio 107.5 FM Ibadan. And the topic today is sexual abuse. And of course, Lola has a very interesting guest who has been treating the questions in a very, very most illuminating manner. I'm sure our listeners out there are enjoying themselves on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 FM. Okay, go ahead, continue. Just wanted to bridge in there.
Thank you for doing that for me. Thanks. Okay, so Lola, can you go on, please?
Yeah, abusers are so difficult to profile.
I'm telling you,
they are the most difficult to profile. I'm telling you, talk of social class. It can be the very rich, can be the very poor. Talk of religion, it can be a Christian, it can be an Hindu, it could be a Muslim. Talk of occupation, it could be a doctor, a mechanic. You understand? They cut
across
everything imaginable. You can't really profile them. It can be a man, it can be men abuse boys, men abuse girls, women abuse boys, women abuse girls. You understand? And I mean, it could be a sanguine person that's all over the place. You know, that brother, that uncle, that friend, that neighbor that is so, you know, that is so sanguine, that's so extroverted, that helps a lot around the place and all that, who is genuinely like, genuinely in quote, friendly and all that. And it could also be that melancholic guy who barely says hello and all that, you know. But the one thing they do have in common, I would say, is that they have this interest in children. You know, somehow they love being around children, you know, and because they don't want to be caught, you know, you must always realize that they never want to be caught, you know, they are very subtle in everything they do. So you can't say, this one looks like an abuser. No, you can't. They're not easy to profile, really, you know. So that's why prevention doesn't have anything to do with profiling. They're difficult to profile. It costs across everything, like I told you, social class, race, tribe, religion, anything, you know. So, but the main thing would be that they like being around children, you know. So I think that answers that.
Okay, so how do you now tell people to protect themselves? For example, I would always say to, I mean, my own clients and to my own children, that you should not always let your guard down.
Yeah.
You understand? Don't get
the people that are supposed to protect you that usually abuse them. The
clergy, exactly.
The friends, the neighbors, the clergy, you know, so why? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So what's the question?
So how do you tell children or people generally to protect themselves?
To protect their children.
Yeah.
That, because that is the bottom line. Profiling the abuser, I mean, that's not really your job. You understand? But that's difficult to profile. I mean, for kind of like people's brother, you understand? People's father, people's husband, abuse children.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you profile your husband is an abuser? How do you provide that your own brother that abused or your dad or your grandfather? These are cases, you know. How do you provide the driver that worked with you for 20 years? You know, how do you imagine that, you know, the driver is abusing your child? How do you imagine that a 50-year-old teacher, you know, that does lesson, let me call it Nigeria, your private classes, your children and abuse are so difficult. So the way, I mean, I'll quickly run through because this is very important. How do you protect children? You know, that's so crucial. You don't know these abusers, that people around children, people that are supposed to protect them are the ones abusing them. So what do we do? Educate yourself first and foremost. That's the first thing I mentioned. I remember when I came on. When we listen to programs like anything concerning your children, you need to keep learning. Parenting, you have to be intentional with your parenting. You know, you have to be intentional about protecting your children from child sexual abuse. For child sexual abuse, every child is at the front line of this clear and present danger. That's a fact. You know, like you said, no, over spirituality, we say, God forbid. I will tell people, it's not God forbid. God expects
God forbid, exactly.
You know, that, yes. Because when they do that, God forbid. God expects you to do your part. So educate yourself. Listen to programs. Attend workshops. You know, buy magazines, buy books on how to protect your children. Learn. Educate yourself. Educate your circle. Now, next thing, educate your children. You know, it's your children you need to empower. You understand? Because the ignorance of the child is the fertilizer for abuse. The abuser comes, lies to your child. It's a normal thing for uncle and aunt, uncle and nieces, or uncle and nephews to do this. You know, they say all kind of things. But when you educate them, they know that, oh, this is wrong. So how do you educate your children? Age-appropriate sexuality education. For me too, you start teaching them about body safety. How do you start? You start talking about safety generally. Safety is very important in our life. Before you cross the road, what do? You look to your left, you look to your right. When you buy a new product, what do? You look at the manual. You know how to handle. So there's also something called body safety. Understand? Because when you talk to children, you have to make it interesting. You have to make it relatable. You have to make it, you know, you have to bite-size it. So you tell them, that, okay, there's also something important and body safety. What is body safety? You now tell them, these are your private parts. You know, you start mentioning. And no funny name. You start. Boys, your penis, your anus, your thighs, your chest, your buttocks, are your private part. You don't say
I'm laughing. I'm laughing because this is exactly my case. Because I remember when my kids were much younger, I think between the ages of 3 and 5, and I introduced them to their body parts, and I told them in explicit language what they were. I mean, I know some. I had some backlash. You know, people telling me, why would you do that?
And I can imagine.
It's better for you to tell them so they don't get confused.
And yes, you have to say the way it is, you know.
Why are you calling it a funny? Why are you calling a pen a banana? What has banana got to do with it?
Yes, or call vagina, everything bomb bomb. They called us to school to attend to a case of abuse. And then as I'm talking to this 4-year-old, where did the guy touch you? You know? He was supposed to be a teacher and all that.
Yeah.
And then she pointed to her vagina and said, bomb bomb. Ah, ask vagina bomb bomb. You understand? You know? So say there's no big deal in saying vagina. This is vagina. Penis. To let them know what their body parts are. And these parts are private to you. Do not let anyone touch. And you should also not touch someone else's. Basic. There's nothing. See, people think child abuse education, children can't handle it. They can.
Look, there's
so much information out there. So what else are you hiding from them? It is abuse they can't do. Prevention is better. Sexual abuse is very preventable. Let them know. You know, I've seen thoughts lack of your of people's end when they try to touch them in their private. You know, it's what you teach them. They're never too young to learn. So you teach them age appropriately, you know, and let them know that, okay, these are your private parts. Don't touch someone else's as well. And then you tell them about good and bad secrets. You know, abusers are fond of, oh, this is their secret, just between me and you.
Exactly.
Tell them that, oh,
yeah.
Good secrets are like, oh, there's a surprise birthday party for mommy or daddy, you know. Bad secrets are like someone touching your private part and telling you not to say anything. That's part of educating your child. Then don't play private part games. This is also very common. A case, we were called for another case. This lady had, you know, educated her child and all that. And because of that, the child was able to stop the abuse. The man came after school, the girl goes to grandma's place, you know, and no, grandma was busy selling something else, and the neighbor came, let's play private part game. Said, no, my mommy told me, and then, you know, she reported, and that guy was arrested. She tell them no private part game, you know. Abusers are very, very cunning, you know. Touch my private part, I'll touch your private, turn into a game, and they'll be singing. You tell them no private part game, you know. And then you tell girls, don't sit on men's eyes. That's very common. I've heard people tell me that when they were growing up, you know, uncles and, you know, kind of people would just be pressing their pin into their laps and all that, you know. So that is a no-no, you know. And then, but lastly, under education, if anyone makes you feel uncomfortable, tell me, you know. Let's build, spend that quality time with them so that they will even be able to tell you anything. You know, because everything you are going to do with your children rests on your relationship with them. You have that relationship with them. You understand? You have that culture of conversation. Can they tell you anything? Have you made, are you approachable? You know, if you don't do all this, they won't come to tell you anything. So you must have that relationship first. That's how this education will work. You know, but if they are so fearful of you, you're always with the cane, you know, you're always yelling, you know, you have to have that relationship that they'll be able to tell you anything. Then you set a deep rule. Abuse that gift, people think, children think, don't tell mommy, don't tell dad. Any gift anyone gets in this house must be shown to the parents, you know. You make sure they comply, very important. Then you make internet safety a priority, you know. All manner of things on the internet, apply filters, you know. Smartphone controllers, yeah. That's very important. I don't believe a 13-year-old and below showing a smartphone. No. If they need to do anything, they can use the parent, you know. And for the older one, they should still do some control as well. But then also vigilance, you know, to be like, even around same-sex pairs and relatives, don't say, that's my brother. Now, like I told you, you cannot profile anyone, you know. Mm-mm. So you need to be vigilant, yeah. Then you show interest in their daily activities. When they come back from school, how was your day? Oh, mine was fine. You know, you have that culture of conversation that the people tell you anything. Oh, how was your day? And what happened in school today? Didn't it make you happy? Did you know? You have that conversation, you know, so that when there's anything, you'll be able to nip it in the bud, you know. Then you cement this teaching with videos on YouTube. You know, there are so many child sexual abuse prevention videos because children relate more with other visuals, you know, especially when they see their mates, you know, on the screen telling them, oh, no one should touch your private part, and they make it so interesting, they make it fun. So, you know, you also do that and then as well. Then you make sure your child's school, the church and the mosque, wherever you take them, any child focus organization you take your children, you make sure they take protection seriously. You know, the best of parents will not always be with the child, right? You know,
exactly. So I was going to go there. I mean, but before we go on, like I said, This is Real Talks with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 Ibadan. And I know I'm very sure people are glued to the radio right now, listening to my guest Ololade Ektofor Bagbe, the leading psychologist of O5 Children's Center. It's been an interesting talking about abuse, and I know that we can go on and on and on, and I know that there's so much to talk about. And now, Ololade, you know, you've said something which is very important, which actually was like a click on my head right now, and that is the fact that, you see, When in Nigeria, for example, I'm going to kind of create now. I know that there are so many NGOs, there are so many agencies out there, you know, doing about protection. I mean, when abuse does happen, what do we do? Now, before I go that into that question, there's something I want to bring to your knowledge, and I want you to educate us on that, okay? And I know you've talked about it. Now, it's very important that we're around our children, okay? But unfortunately, not everybody has that privilege. I will use the word privilege to be around their children. Some people have to go to work. Yeah. I mean, especially with the economy situation in all over the world now. Yeah. Some people have to be at work, you know, and they don't have that time to be with their children. So sometimes I believe that a situation has come where you need to, like, sit down, take a list and say to yourself, what are my priorities? Like, I mean, I know during our own time when we were raising our kids, I chose personally to be a stay-at-home mom for the first few years of my kids growing up. Mm-hmm. You understand? Just to raise the children. But I mean, some of the young people right now, especially the career-driven ones, would not do that.
Yeah.
You understand? And like I always use this slang, hey, the streets are not smiling. It's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there. So you know how do you marry both together? Because you rightly said now that you know have a conversation with your child. You know, be vigilant. Hey, a mother that has or a father that has gone out at early at 6 o'clock in the morning exactly, and comes on at about 10 o'clock. So, you know, those factors are there. So how do we marry both now?
Okay. I'm really so happy you raised it. I mean, one of the things we see as a challenge in our work, okay? Because we have to be real. The economy is hostile. Now, like you said, during the days of our mothers, they used to be housewives, and they were usually there with their children 24/7 and all that, you know? But now, many mothers have become sole breadwinners. So, not even cook, sole breadwinners. So, how do you begin to even take the last time to protect their children when they've gone to their shop or to the office maybe 5 a.m. and then they return at 8, 9, 10, considering Lagos traffic, for instance? You know, we realize all the challenges there, especially in the country with zero social support, with zero social protection, you know. But we just have to do our best with what we have. You have to just find, you just have to be able to put your children in supervised situation. I don't know. Of us, many Nigerians use maids, but we also know maids have, some maids, not all maids abuse children, you know. But you see, there comes the importance of educating your child. Even the best of parents, even the housewife, will not always be with the child. Sometimes you have to go to the market. Sometimes you have to maybe attend an appointment for one thing or the other, you know. So the best thing, you know, the best thing to do is to educate your child. No one touches you. So no matter where the child is, whether in church, in school, in a friend that's at home, you know, the child knows that no one should touch me and I must not touch someone else. And then, you know, okay, so there's this busyness, but at the weekend, as much as possible, find that time. How was your week? You know, what's happening? Tell me about your week. You know, I told you that culture of conversation. Even at work, I call them. How are you doing? You know, check up on them from time to time and all that. You know, so the challenges are there, but we have to find a way to mitigate this threat, to mitigate all these problems and all that. We can't wish it away, you know. The economy is I don't want to use bad, you know, but the challenges are there, you know. So we just have to make the best of what we have, which is the most important thing. See, and all we are doing about education is based on that, educating our children. You know, when they're educated, I know that, oh, this should not happen. And then they will stop it and report to you.
Okay, now let's go back to something which is very important, and I know that's going to be our last discussion. Okay, I you know, most times, like you call them survivors, most of the time, I've realized from my own work that most of them don't want to, especially in South Africa, they don't want to come out and talk, not because they don't want to be they don't want to be victimized by the because I mean like sometimes. Yeah, the stigma, and again, sometimes society fails them. When I use the word society fails them, I mean, I've had a case where a victim keeps going back to, a survivor keeps going back and forth between the hospital, between the police, trying to get, I'm going to report. And you know, for every time, I mean, we both know that as psychologists, that for every time you really need to relay the incident, it brings back the memories. You never shut out the wound. So it's like you talk to Sergeant A on Monday. He tells you, okay, I've taken your statement. I'm going to come and look it out. 1 week passes, nothing is done. You get back to the place, you meet Sergeant B. Okay, tell me the story all over again. That person is never going to heal. So why that is why you find that most of these survivors, what do? They just abandon the case and just move on. But again, moving on, I always say at times, there is nothing as bad as emotional wounds.
Yes.
Physical wounds are better. You just put a band-aid on it and you move on.
Oh, yes.
But emotional wounds can be crazy, you understand?
Oh, yes.
So, and that is why... That is why in places like England, in America, even in South Africa, which although it's not so fantastic, there's something called safeguarding, you understand? I don't know how the system works in Nigeria. Yeah. What are the steps do you take to safeguard such survivors so that when they see that, there's protection. This is what can be. And I think that is where the media comes into play too. When if you do this and I shout or I do this, this is what happens to people. So what are the steps you take to safeguard such people?
Okay. All right. Before I go into that, let me address the issues with the police because it's the same as well. You know, I mentioned that I belong to the Child Protection Network. Child Protection Network is an initiative of UNICEF. You know, it's a body of NGOs and the government agencies, you know, handling all children matters and all that. So what UNICEF does, you know, and the Lagos State Government particularly, Lagos State Government has been so child-friendly, I'm telling you. So what they UNICEF particularly, what they do is they train police officers on a regular, you know, because they know, anyway, there were two of us handling this case. This child was abused, and this female police officer came. She was supposed to be the IPO, you know, the investigative police officer. She took the child's story and all that. And that person came, another one came, you know, they passed around like that. And then one said, you enjoyed it, you know, you enjoy your mabi.
Exactly.
Why didn't you talk? So there's so much ignorance, you know, and all that. So what UNICEF decided to do was that, based on our NGO report and all that, look, these are the challenges. That's the beauty of UNICEF. They come, they know that we know the uniqueness, you know, of our society, of our community. So that's what are the problems we have. And then we tell them. So they've been training the Nigerian police, you know. They go there, okay, send your police reps, those in the family unit, those in the children unit and all that. So they keep training them. How do you interview survivors? How to respond to them and all that. So that's the only way that can be achieved in South Africa as well. NGOs need to get the government to act, you know, to get funders, to train the police on how to interview child sexual abuse victims. So that's important. Now, to answer what you said now, there's a crisis response protocol to follow when a child has been abused. You know, so let me quickly run through that. I know we don't have much time. You know, when abuse happens, it's normal for you to be in a state of shock. It's from my child. My 2-year-old child. I mean, we have 6 months being abused for kind of love.
Baby, I know.
6 months by their father, by their uncles, you know, by drivers, teachers, neighbors, you know, pastors, imams, anyone, you know. So there's that initial shock that and then you have to remain calm. You know, you have to remain calm. You don't yell at the child. You don't condemn the child. The idea is to get details. What happened, you know? And as you are doing that, you're recording discreetly. You know, corroborative evidence is important when you are going to go to court. You know, if the case is going to get to court, all those things will help so that they won't think, maybe you led the child to say this or that and all that. So, what happened? Just get the people to be calm. Just assure the child, don't worry. I know it's not your fault. Tell me what happened. You need to get the fact. And then separate the abuse from the abuser immediately. You know, especially if, like, maybe someone like domestic or someone that lives with you. Make sure, you know, you understand, so that the child won't be fearful. Because most of the time, abusers threaten children. And once you do that, enlist the help of a relevant NGO. If you do that, police compromise, all these police interviews will not come up. Because you have a reputable NGO with you that will guide you and will make sure things are done properly. So that is essential. You know, in your area, make sure you know the popular NGOs. Make sure you know the NGOs that are really working, that you can rely on if it ever happens. Like we always say, stop saying God forbid, you know, keep crisis number response handy, you know. It may not be your child, you understand? Maybe a neighbor's child, we need to be involved, whether it's your child or someone else's child. Know who to call when abuse happens, you know. Now, you know, if the abuse is the case of a defilement now, maybe you understand, penetrating sex and all that, do not beat the child, do not, you know, because you need evidence. Take the child to the hospital daily for test and treatment, you know. And then while there's something called PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis. This is one thing I like in educating the public about. But there are a lot of most people don't even know what PEP, what exposure prophylaxis is, a treatment administered to victims, rape victims,
immediately,
or child abuse victims, to prevent HIV in case the abuser is HIV positive, and to prevent pregnancy in children in that have reached puberty. You know, there's something they admit, there's a tablet they administer immediately to prevent that from happening. And then, so then they conduct the test and all that. So they write a written report, and that you take to the police station. It is after then you go to the police station. Don't go to the police station for meet. And then a government hospital is preferable. The government, I mean, the court always prefer. They always feel like, oh, maybe a private hospital can manipulate them, can tell them to write the answer. So it's better to always use the public hospital and all that. But if you don't do whatever, you can still go ahead with the private one, you know. So report at the police station. You know, you already have your test results. Even when the test result is not ready, you tell them, oh, I've already taken the child for test, and the report will be ready on so-so. I need to file a report, so-so-so-so. And we must report, please, people. Let's not cover up abuse anymore, no matter who is involved. This thing is damaging. Yeah. This thing is, you understand? Sexual abuse is so, in fact, it takes divine intervention to be normal after all this, especially when it's serial in nature. Let's not cover up, whether it's your husband, your brother, no matter who the person is. Don't let people come and threaten you or try to, you know, beg you. You know, our cultural tendencies now.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I was going to say that. But especially when you have culture involved, you know, the cultural thing set into it. We Yorubas. It mustn't be said outside. You know, we have to cover it up. Yeah. You understand? No. I know another thing I'm going to say in your intervention. I'm happy you're bringing up intervention, because there was a situation I dealt with recently, and I was going to say to myself, if I had my powers, I would always want to change that. Any rape victim, before they become survivors, the first place they want to go to is they want to look for a sanctuary, somewhere I can rush to. And most of the time they go to, like, I've had a situation where I asked the person, but you know, why did you not seek help immediately it happened and everything? And she says to me, when it happened, okay, the first person that came, when they were going to send people out to take my statement and everything, they sent two men. Hey, Lola, it doesn't make any sense to me. When a woman has just been raped by a man, and the prevention, I mean, you cannot tell prevention officers the sex they have to be. They can be women, they can be men. But if a woman cries out for help, and the next person you're going to send to her for help is another man.
She's going to be female.
Exactly. So you know, those are the kind of things I ask myself.
Sensitive about. You're right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, how do you modify such things?
You see, that's what I said. When we notice all these gaps, when we notice all these lapses, when we notice this, we need to now advocate for a change. Advocacy is the huge part of our work. Thanks to CPN and UNICEF and all that, we do a lot of advocacy. These are the things we notice. So we go to the communities, we need to educate this person, we need to educate that group. We need to, so it's a continual thing. Once we notice any gap, we tell them, look, this cannot work, you know. The next thing I was going to say, after reporting at the police station, counseling. Counseling is very important for the victim. Very.
Yeah.
I mean, for the survivor, you know. And that's one part of the prevention, because they want to hide it, they want to keep it. The parents need counseling to now to, you know, handle the child. The child needs counseling on how to survive it, you know. Because, I mean, the nightmare that follows, especially the child that's been threatened, you know, I mean, it's always colossal. So they need counseling constant. It may be over a period of maybe 6 months, 1 year, you know. So that's it. So we need just to be sensitive to all these gaps. What are the things we need to address? And then, you know, we have training. That is an ongoing thing, you know. That is so wrong. A lady that has been raped, and then she's been interviewed by two men. I mean, not supposed to be, should be a female, you know. So those are the things you need to write down, discuss with NGOs, and, you know, they advocate for those, you know, for those changes. And so
thank you. I mean, I know that a lot of people are listening on this particular one, because I mean, apart from we being women, it's something that I tell people it's not a gender thing. It's just that's why I said to somebody that, look, we always just generalize abuse as especially with the girl child thing. No, I've seen cases, and I know you've seen a lot of cases of guys, of boys being abused. And even adults being abused. Yeah. I've seen cases of somebody going for a work interview and she gets raped. I've seen cases of a young man going for a work interview and the owner of the company, who happens to be a female, decides to take advantage of him. You understand?
Well,
I've seen cases, I've seen cases of young boys being abused by women. When I use the word abuse, I mean, people find it funny, but I said it's still abuse, because you see, it's not the male child is not a willing party.
Absolutely.
He's being forced into it, you understand? Yeah. So these are the kind of things I think sexual abuse is one. It's actually, like you rightly said, for me, it's a very, very, very delicate issue. But I always feel from the depth of me that the only way forward is for us, like you rightly said, Lolade, is for us to educate ourselves and our children. Exactly, constantly. And do not hide behind any factors. You know, just say the way it is. Don't say because you are a Christian, because you are this, because you are that. Oh no, there are some things you don't discuss in your homes. Like I was saying to somebody recently,
you have off limits. Yeah,
exactly. If you have a 13-year-old child, a girl, who is on the body of a 25-year-old woman, like unfortunately, she cannot take control of her body. So like I always say, you later take control of her body, you later own her body. Let her know that, look, this is my body. But don't start treating I think the problem most times is that people hide behind the factor of, oh, this is still my baby. You have a 16-year-old baby that her boobs are as big as my head, and you're still treating her like a 2-year-old.
Oh, my goodness.
You're confusing that child.
Exactly.
You understand? Exactly. You're confusing that child. Let that child be able to know that, you know what? Okay, this is it. I have to take charge of my body.
Yes.
You know, I have to be in control.
When you start with puberty and all that, you know, most of start even before you are even talking of sexual abuse education. From childhood, you know, you start talking.
Thank you.
By the time they are 8, okay, your body is going to start changing. Expect this.
Thank you.
Understand? So they are prepared. You've opened up that culture of conversation already, and then so it won't be any big deal, you know.
Can I just mention
one thing I really want to mention as well, parents? Child-to-child sexual abuse is common. It's on an alarming rate now, you know.
It's something that we overlook a lot. And it is right under our noses.
About incest. Very important. Define what incest is to them. You should not have any sexual relation with anybody that's your relative. Let them know. It's against the laws of the land. It's against the laws of God. You know, let them know. You know, so it's very common. Thanks to pornography, thanks to all the use of technology and all that, you know. So it's very important. You know, teenagers come home, abuse their siblings and all that, you know. We're talking of 7, 8, 9, 10 years having sex, you know. And this is no story.
Wow.
It's a fact. Yes. You know, when it happens, I mean, people to think prevention, we tell them, talk to them, and but you don't want to mention them when they're, okay, I mean, there's no time for, I would have shared so many things, but I believe we've addressed a lot for to get parents.
I'm going to definitely bring you back when we do It's Happening, because you see, like you rightly said, there's just a lot. I think sexual abuse is something that opens up, like I always tell people, it is like, when you open up a balloon, you know, it just goes all over the place, boom. Because you see, it encompasses so many things. So many things come into play when you're talking of sexual abuse, because it's something that has been from time immemorial. You understand? But I think, like you rightly said, it's just a time now where we need to we need to combat it. We need to say, you know what, it's getting
technology.
Exactly. I mean, it's still something that the media, like you said, is helping in curbing it.
Yeah.
We need to keep on doing a lot of things, pamphlets, books, you know, jingles. Let people be aware of a lot of the ills going on. Thank you so much. I mean, this is still real issues with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 Ibadan. And it has been a lovely time with my guest, Ololade Hector Fowobaje. She's not actually been, she's not a guest that I don't know. I think Lolade has actually, I will use the word, Lolade has actually walked a path. You know, when you're passionate about something, I tell people that a lot, that when you're passionate about something, it comes very natural. It's not something that you just sit with. And that's why I said to people that, you see, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, what we intend to do is, like we said, we're trying to bring the people in diaspora up to speed. And Real Talks with Lola, most especially, is about bringing, like I said to everybody, it's more about behavioral modification through media. And we were trying to reach out to more people because, you see, the impact of radio is very, very important. Mm. I've come to realize that a long time ago, that the impact of radio is very important because as psychologists, we both know that the effect of listening to things, it stays longer.
Oh, yes.
When you listen to things, it sits in the subconscious for a very long time.
The brain is the picture of repetition, you know.
Exactly.
What the constantly remains, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very happy that you could do justice to this particular topic, and the most important thing, and is that you should not relent in what you're doing. I'm hoping that one of these days, O5 Center for Children would be able to go out there. I know that I've seen your jingles. I don't know if you have any jingles. I've seen your ABC chat, which I think is extremely, when I read it, I was laughing out loud. Like, oh my word, you know, when they say, oh, I'm proud of my girl. This is my girl. This is my girl. This is Lola. And then, you know, teaching sex, hey, you and I know it's not easy. The stigma that comes with it is not something we want to talk about today.
Oh, yeah. So
it's just a very wise thing. But thank you so much, Lola.
Thank you for doing amazing.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Real Talk with Lola.
And I'm definitely going to bring you back on because a lot of my questions have not been answered today. I mean, questions have been popping and have not been answered today because a lot of people want to know how to take charge of not being a victim to abuse. And like you rightly said, and I'm going to quote your word, it starts by you being educated and you being aware. Thank you so much, Lola. Thanks for taking out time to come on this talk show with me. Once again, this is Real Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 Ibadan. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. Real Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and, of course, Live Radio 107.5 FM Ibadan. Next week, Lola will be back with another guest, and I'm sure she will be discussing another interesting topic. All right. Spirit of Nigeria Radio continues transmission at the top of the eye. It will be time for Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Akme.
Celebrate upon the beat. Yeah, me holiday. It's a spicy baby. Johnny leave me follow Cynthia, and I don't know what to do. And he talk say I no do am like the way Cynthia they do. Johnny give Uche belle. He talk say he want marry Nene. Who came Kedi Feneme? Johnny Mo, I'm looking for my Johnny. If I know see my journey,
I'm looking for my journey, I'm looking for my honey. You're telling me this, you're telling me that. I say this is not for me. Johnny do me corny, Johnny do me corny. He's doing me this, he's
Tokyo. Yesterday he say he dey Morocco. He dance the sicko, he sing a willow. Na lie, na Pinocchio. Ah, this one na go be. Ah, yeah, cat.